This episode of Lord Jodlander includes sensitive topics that some listeners may find distressing or triggering. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Lord Jodlander, the Outlander podcast for Lord Jon fans, where we talk about all things Outlander, but especially about Jaime and his Sassenach. And sometimes we'll talk about Claire, too. We may not be the Outlander podcast you wanted, but we will be the Outlander podcast you didn't know you needed. This is your one and only warning that this is not a spoiler-free zone. We can and we will spoil anything and everything about Outlander, from the books and the show, and definitely from Season 7. We'll probably make some stuff up while we're at it. If you make it through the episode in one piece, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us on Twitter and Tumblr at Lord Jodlander, or on our website at lordjodlander.wordpress.com, where you'll also find our archived episodes, teasers, fig recs, and more. Hello, welcome back to Lord Jodlander. We are your hosts. I'm Mistress Pandora. You can call me Pan.
And I'm Beth.
So today we've got kind of an unintentional twofer. So I appreciate everyone's patience with us last week. Life happened, as it tends to do. And we were not able to record last week. But it worked out, I think. So we have... If it had to be a week to miss, it was probably that one.
Yeah.
So this week we're going to talk about 705 Singapore and 706 Where the Waters Meet, all smushed together. Just judging by how we've been writing notes, probably not going to like separate the two out with any sort of like logical demarcation in the conversation, because that would make sense. And we don't do that here. That's not what we do. So we're just going to smush it all together. So spoiler warning for episodes 705 and 706. And I'm going to go ahead and say it because I feel a rant coming on. Trigger warning for sensitive topics like mental health and suicide. I do have a rant about that. I just told Beth just now for the very first time. So this is her live reaction.
Well, I did notice you had some notes. So I'm like, I knew something was coming.
Yeah, this season is on thin fucking ice, but we'll get there.
I'm just doing what I like to do and just ignoring things that don't make me happy.
That's a good approach, and I generally try to do that, but some stuff just really messed me up. But I'll save it for the end, or later, anyway. It'll come up. So, the last time that we were actually on the air, Beth, you wanted to tell a story. You wanted to tell an anecdote.
Sure, yeah, it's pretty quick. So, it involves one of a fic that I wrote, so it involves my fic, Prodigal Son. And so, I live near Saratoga, where the Battle of Saratoga was, but I had never been to the battlefield until like two summers ago, or maybe it was last summer. I don't remember. When I wrote this fic, I had to like act like I knew what the Saratoga battlefield like place looked like, because, and so I just made it up. I'm like, who cares? Nobody's going to know. So anyway, so I made it up, and the whole first chapter takes place there. And there's this part in the chapter where Claire decides she's driving around through the battlefield stuff. And when we got there to visit it, I found out that it is a place you have to drive around to different spots. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And she pulls off into this like little gravel, like not even parking lot. It's just like a little whatever. And she sees some flowers or herbs or something, and she goes off into the little field meadow place whatever, and to pick them, and then she hurts her ankle, and then that's when she sees William. Okay, so we're driving around. It's like 4,000 degrees out, so like we're like don't even want to get out of the car. Like, oh look, there's the battlefield, kids. But I'm like, okay, we have to go see the marker for General Simon Fraser. So we pull off into this small little gravel parking area, get out, and there's this little path And there's all these like, there's trees, and then there's like all these like flowers and things like that. It's like a little meadow. And there were all these like rocks where, you know, someone could twist their ankle on. And then we walked down that. And then that's where the thing is for the marker for Simon Fraser. They're actually, I don't think they don't actually don't even know where he's actually buried, if he was buried there or if he was taken home to Scotland. But it was so much like the fic that I wrote, and yet I hadn't been there. It really freaked me out. I was like, what the hell is going on? So that's all. I mean, that's the story. But it was really weird because, like, it was so close to what I had just, like, made up. I was like, well, I need her to pull off the road, so why not have her pull off to pick some flowers, you know? And anyway, that's all the story is. But it was really weird.
That's perfect.
I was like, oh, I mean, it's been, like I said, a year or two since we went. So, but at the time I was like, this is fucking freaky. Oh my God. So anyway.
That's a really cool experience. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. So if you're ever going to visit the Saratoga battlefield and you go see General Simon Fraser's little marker thing, make sure you read my fic before that. That's all.
Yeah, Prodigal Son. I think we have wrecked it before, but I just went and grabbed the link again so we can put it in the social media post again this week, because it never hurts to double wreck something because it is that good.
I think I have a couple pictures from when I went, so I think either this episode or the next one will be a good time for me to post some of them with the with the social media
goodies. I would also like to point out, for anyone who is either new to writing or not new to writing but is maybe struggling with some imposter syndrome, like, I've never left my little town, I have no idea how to write about this particular place I've never been to, or worried that you're going to get it wrong, just fucking do it, man. Like,
just make it up, man.
Make it up. The universe will take care of you. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So.
Like, that's the fortune favors the bold. There you go.
There you go.
Just go for it.
Just do it. Oh, boy.
That's a cool story. I like that. So, I'm not really sure where to start here, because I feel like the first, like, two, maybe 2.5 episodes of season 7 were just balls to the wall. And they have been teasing the Battle of Saratoga since 702.
Yep.
And we're still not fucking there.
Well, I guess it helps, you know, it helps for me to think about how that time kind of felt interminable to Jamie and Claire. So maybe they're trying to give us that same feeling.
It just goes on and on and on and on and on. Just the pacing is wonky now. It's off.
Yeah. Well, and I remember in the book, it was really fucking hot, because upstate New York is not like the South, but it's really fucking hot in the summer. Yeah. And it's very humid. And like I said, the day that we went to visit that place, it was so hot, we didn't even want to get out of the car. We were like, like, when we set out, we were like, oh, we're going to hit this, 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 and this. And then we're like, yeah, skip it. I do have some sympathy too for the heat that they were dealing with in the book.
Yeah. But they're still walking around in coats and shit in the show, because they filmed it in Scotland. So, like,
yeah, I know, it's probably like the dead of winter.
They can't really capture the whole how just swampy the eastern seaboard gets in the summer.
No, I know.
That just does not exist in Scotland. It's not a thing. Not the way it is here.
No. Yes, yeah, swampy is the best word for it. It's just gross.
It is. Everything is wet.
Everything is gross.
Everything everything is wet. It smells like ass.
Yes.
And the further south you go, the worse it gets. Yeah.
If you've ever heard the term swamp ass, it comes from the eastern seaboard.
It does. That's exactly where that comes from. This got gross, quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Well, we didn't know where to start, so there you go, you know? Start with swamp ass.
That would have been better for the last one with poor William stuck in the dismal.
Got me a case of the swamp ass. I don't know what that accent was. It was like,
I don't either.
Scottish and Australian or something. I don't know. Good eye.
Well, hey, why don't we, since we're talking about William, how about William having a religious conversation with the Quakers? That was interesting.
I loved it. I did. I just loved that they were like debating and like it was friendly and they both obviously had different points of view and obviously neither one was going to change the other's mind, but like they just talked about it because that's what people used to do. They used mm-hmm. to just engage in discourse because they didn't have anything else to do. So they would just debate topics in a friendly manner for fun.
Yeah, no one had to like be right. There's this assumption that you guys disagreed and like that's the point of the conversation.
That's what makes the conversation lively and makes you think, you know, and makes you challenge yourself to dig deeper on your beliefs mm-hmm. and stuff. Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, and I don't want to go off on a rant about society, but just everybody's just screaming at each other and everybody just needs to be right all the time. And I hate it. I hate it here.
You can only say, damn, that's crazy, or so true, bestie, so many times before.
Yeah.
Before it gets old.
Love that journey for you.
It's fantastic. I would like to acknowledge William's just confidence in sticking with the hunters. He's never actually been in a fight in his life. But he's going to protect them because just like big guy things, right? Which is very yeah. like, it's 50% Jamie and it's 50% John.
Exactly.
And I think that would, can we talk about that, him punching out that lady? Because that's maybe my favorite like 4 seconds in the entire series so far that like John hasn't been in as a you know required caveat there, but like just throwing that punch, it was like, Dale, that's just all Mackenzie right there. That's not Fraser, that's Mackenzie.
Well, and it's so apropos that at the end of 706 Claire tells Jamie he's definitely got the fire of a Highlander in him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he definitely does.
Punching out that woman, that was the most entertaining thing ever. No paternity test needed. That was Jamie. Oh, right there.
God, it makes me want to write more from that, because I always wanted to write a sequel to Prodigal Son, and just makes me want to write more about William as he becomes more and more like part of the Frasers and just like living amongst all the Highlanders.
Yeah. It's a fun dynamic to explore in fic.
Yeah.
Like if you can really pick it apart, if you do the canon divergence thing and you put William into this like the Fraser Gray kind of tribe there, it's fun to explore what's got to be going through his head as he realizes that he doesn't actually know what it means to be who he is, because mm-hmm. it's a completely different person now. Anyway, it's fun, but actually not the show.
Sadly. But if the new book ever gets published, it's going to be a lot of Jamie and William doing Highlander rescue shit. So I think it's coming. I think we're finally going to reap our reward. in like 10 years when the book is finished.
One of these days, we're just going to have to talk about how we feel about book 10, like way before it comes out. Like, but I don't feel like today is the day for it. I don't feel like I have that level of rant in me.
No.
I mean, maybe, but anyway. They have name dropped the Greys in like every episode, and I'm getting really tired of it. They're so integral to the plot that we have to talk about them every fucking episode. Where are they?
I made a note. I don't know if you saw it, but it's been confirmed that we're not getting Dottie.
See, now the only satisfactory conclusion of the William and Ian and Rachel triangle there is a threesome.
Well,
I don't care that they're cousins. I'm gonna skip right to the rare pair slash Pan horrifies Beth. I don't care. They are shippable. I'm not sorry. I won't apologize because that's a lie.
Where I was gonna go with that was that we all from the books, we all know that Rachel is a freak in the sheets. So yeah. That's so confirmed canon. So she's like, oh, I'm a shy virgin and I'm going to stick my finger up your butt.
That's right. I forgot.
See? Oh, God.
This is a bad time to be semi-retired from writing fan fiction because that's just golden right there. That's just a perfect opportunity.
That was the surprise of Ian's life. And I mean, Ian has seen some shit, right? But like that happening on their wedding night, I think was probably, that was the one thing that could have taken him out. Oh, Claire taught them well when she gave them their little sex talk.
Oh, boy. Speaking of Ian, we got to meet Swiftest of Lizards last week.
Okay, that actor is so adorable. I want him immediately signed on as a season regular.
Oh, he's so cute.
So darn cute. I just, like, I wanted to pinch his cheeks and just, oh my God, I can't get over it. Like, I'm obsessed with this child. He's so adorable.
He's so cute.
But why is Diana continually obsessed with fathers who can't raise their own kids, their own sons? I just don't understand. Or their kids in general, actually.
Yeah. Like, can we think of, no, there's a lot of them. Like, there's a lot of characters who were not raised by their fathers or whose fathers died when they were 12 on their 12th birthday or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy if you think about it.
It's just statistically improbable.
Even Claire was raised by Uncle Lam. Like, it's just, it just goes on and on and on and on and on.
Uh-huh. I don't care enough to delve into the psyche of the author here, but maybe someone should talk to her about that.
Even like minor characters like Rabbi McNabb.
Oh my God. It's
freaking everywhere.
Flipping Marcelly and Joan.
Yep.
Vera's kids. Roger.
Yep.
Brianna and William.
Buck McKenzie.
Buck. Oh, God, yeah.
It's just like everywhere you it turn.
It goes on like and on. It's like
deadbeat dads. No, they're not really deadbeat dads.
mostly dead, honestly. Yeah. We are really, really killing a lot of fathers here.
It's like definitely like at a level that it raises some red flags.
There's a lot of things about Outlander in general that raise red flags. This is one of them.
Yes.
It just defies mathematics.
Mm-hmm. what's his face? Alex Randall's son.
Oh, yeah. Tip of my tongue.
Anyway, I can't even go down that rabbit hole. Let's go back to the episode.
Okay, yeah. Let's go back to the episode. You're right. Good idea. I'm definitely not on Wiki. You made an excellent note. Jamie and the cannon in 705.
He's just like reached the peak age of no fucks to give. Like
zero fucks.
He's like, this guy doesn't want to listen to me. He doesn't want to listen to me. I'm going to go shoot his cannons. What are you doing, Jamie? That was such a bad decision.
You know what, though? I am surprised it took him that long to come up with that plan, though. Because when he's getting shot down by the general, I'm like, okay, so you're going to go drag the cannon up there yourself now, right? And he doesn't get the idea until later. Like, why did that's the peak asshole maneuver, and you did not think, okay, watch me, hold my beer. Really, that was not Jamie's first thought, was hold my beer.
It's hold my whiskey.
Whatever.
Please have some respect for the culture.
Whatever we're holding for him. Why was that not his first thought? Like,
I don't know. Oh, God. And then we've got the fucking snooze fest happening in the 80s. Like, oh, please kill me now.
I'm so annoyed about how long they dragged out this crap with Buck.
I know.
More than two. Like 2.5 complete episodes.
Well, and then the irony is that, like, because it's a different actor, like, anybody who hasn't read the books is like going to be like, who the hell is this guy that he tried to just punch down?
Right? I am bummed that it's not Graham.
I am not.
You're not?
No. I mean, it was, all right, it was cutesy for the one episode, but like.
I guess.
Graham's way too old to be playing his son.
But. Well, yes, but still, it would have been fun. Tape.
Put things back into place.
It's a lot. They can do a lot of things in the makeup trailer. No. Okay.
We need Graham for later, right? And is Buck there when they meet? Well,
true.
So, whatever. Yeah, I mean, we can't do that.
I am looking forward to Roger Mack's Wild Ride. I guess we are actually going to get that. That'll be nice.
I hope we don't get Buck fucking his mom.
Fucking hell. Because that's what we need. That's for sure what we need.
Oh, God. Make it stop.
Can I just state for the record that I absolutely hate Rob Cameron?
Oh, yeah. And they got, like, the perfect actor to play him, too, because that guy just, like, looks... He looks like an 80s movie villain.
Yeah, he does.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, if he was an American, he'd be, like, wearing a popped collar polo shirt and, and you know, working on Wall Street. Like...
I mean, if nothing else, Outlander and stars in general, they cast... beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
Their casting decisions are fantastic.
Can't pick out a wig to save their lives, but damn, can they cast they them right?
Sure cannot. Which is ironic because, like, the makeup artists are so detail oriented.
I know
that it just blows me away every time they show a close up of Jamie's hands and you can see his surgery scars from where Claire put his fingers back together. And like that level of detail is amazing. What's up with the wigs though?
And then the wigs, they're like, ah, fuck it. Just wear a squirrel on your head for season 4. Oh Jamie here can rest in peace.
That was bad. That was an exceptionally awful one.
But Roger, back Roger. To Roger.
Yeah.
He is the worst. He's like, yeah, I know who you are. And then Rob Cameron's just like bats his eyes at Roger and is like, ooh, I'd love to read your pretty book. And Roger's like, okay, best bud. Like, are you kidding me?
That was such an awkward conversation, though. That whole scene just, now I'm painfully introverted. Like, I don't people unless I have 3 to 5 business weeks of warning. And even then I have to be medicated or drunk. But that whole conversation was my actual worst nightmare. And I'm just sitting on the couch going, please, God, make this stop. Please. Roger, my man, how am I going to defend you over this?
Yeah.
I can't.
It's not looking good, Pan. It's not looking good.
It's not. I still like Roger. That was just fucking awkward and awful. And I can't wait for Brianna to shoot at him. Rob Cameron, I mean, not Roger. Don't shoot at Roger.
I was hoping for both.
I mean, that's a bingo square. Catholics don't believe in divorce, but they do believe in murder. It's a square.
And Brianna is a Catholic.
Mm-hmm. She was kind of absent in 706.
She was busy. She's a working gal.
I guess.
There's Rogers at home slaving away with the children. They're knuckle-leavies.
What did you say? Knuckle-leavies?
Whatever, however it's
knuckle-y.
Called. Knuckle-y. I don't know.
It's a weird word. It's an odd word. It's hard to say with an American mouth.
Yeah. And I do have an American mouth.
Yes. Same.
So that was just bleh. Just been the snooze fest for them for 2 episodes.
It's kind of been a snooze fest in general, other than you're getting plenty of William content, which is wonderful. And Ian is fantastic. Oh, one thing I didn't think of. Okay, so this happened in 706, and I had to point this out. When Claire gets captured by the British, which, first of all, I completely forgot that even happened until... Mm-hmm. The private or whatever said that Lord Ellesmere, the curly wig giving orders like a sergeant major. Like, oh yeah, I remember that quote. I think we've talked about this before. Jamie and Claire have like one trick, which is self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
And Jamie immediately is like, I'm going to go storm the castle and do all this shit and like risk my own life because that's what I got to do. Cause I just got to do it, man. And Ian's like, dude, I can walk in the door in the daytime. Ian calling Jamie on the self-sacrifice shit without actually calling him out on the self-sacrifice. That was just music to my ears.
he's really starting to replace his father as Jamie's voice of reason.
Oh, that's going to be a permanent thing soon, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, let's not think about that.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time. Because I don't think they're getting to Scotland this half of the season.
They'll probably, like, leave. Or wait. I got to look at the episode titles because there was... Yeah, I can't remember. But anyway.
Anyway.
Every single Fraser now has run into William in... except for Jamie.
Which... He could have, but he hid, and that was probably wise, I guess.
But it's just funny. And okay, so I need a moment because one of my favorite things that William does in the books is when he says, like, your servant, madam, and like when he, especially when he says it to like Claire and stuff. Yeah. And when he said it to Claire, it was music to my ears. Like, he said it better than I've ever heard it in my head. Like, I was just like,
aww.
Angel baby, you bring tears to my eyes. You're so perfect.
Wish fulfillment.
I could not have asked. I was so, you remember how, like, fucking nervous and like pre-mad I was and stuff. Like, and he has just exceeded every single expectation, wish. He's perfect.
Charles is the perfect William. I can't imagine anyone else in this role at all. Like, no notes. Perfect job.
Yeah. And I like how they're managing, like, skirting around the whole, like, he looks just like Jamie thing. Like, they're planting little things to, like, establish that as, like, not what it's going to be in the show. Like Ian said, like, oh, you have to be a Fraser to see it, you know, in him. And, like, Claire was, like, did not recognize him at all. Like, he recognized her, though.
That was really sweet.
When I hear him say Mother Claire, I'm probably going to die.
It'll be a lonely week for me on the Lord's Unlimited.
Yeah, I won't be able to function. I'm going to be, I will die.
I'll have to devote 20 minutes just to that. It's just a pterodactyl screeching.
He's so cute, though. And, like, I just love how you can just tell he likes that Claire is, like, feisty, right? Like, he's despite all his, like, manners and, you know, his proper upbringing, he 100% it is just completely enthralled with women who are not like that.
Yeah.
And he's not even apologetic about it. He's just
not
like,
at all.
This is the type of woman I like, just like my daddies.
Exactly. I did love that Claire just told Jamie this, the laundry list of ways that William is Jamie and John's biological love child.
Oh, so sweet.
It was perfect.
So I wonder if we're going to get Jamie almost, well, what is he? He shoots William's hat off or something, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to get that next week. Oh,
I don't know. Are we going to actually get the freaking Battle of Saratoga next week, or are we still going to be walking to it?
I don't know. I mean,
like the two towers. Even the trees are walking.
Well, they've been teasing the American Revolution since season 4, so it's coming. This time it's really coming. No, this time
really.
It's really coming. Like, this is the worst porn ever.
Outlander is a fantastic show if edging is your thing. If that's your kink, then this is the show for you. As long as you don't want the payoff.
Oh, God.
I would just like to point out that we've pretty much covered 2 whole episodes. It's been 36 minutes.
And a whole lot of dirty jokes too.
A whole lot of dirty jokes.
Swamp ass. Cannot forget the swamp ass.
I'm so glad we brought up the swamp ass again.
Oh, and that disgusting stew.
Oh, that was, I actually gagged.
I know, I was like, no thank you. No,
there was fur in it.
All right, so it looked like you were putting something about, or somebody calling in, not calling in.
Yes,
let's take some calls from the audience.
That would be cool. Actually, before we do that, I got it because, you know, we have to have the proper FU stars.
Yes. Oh, yes, you have to rant. That's right.
I have a rant, and I'm going to try to keep it short because I don't need to go over this over and over again. I'm so fed up with the trauma porn, and I'm referring specifically to the on-screen suicide in 706 that they warned for. I'll give stars that. They did include it in the writings and the warnings and stuff at the beginning of the episode. And I was mentally prepared for it. I thought, but like it messed me up for the rest of the evening. Like, it kind of fucked me up a bit. And what pisses me off the most is that that was an objectively horrific, traumatic thing that Claire has witnessed, and it's not going to come up again.
No.
It didn't matter. And it didn't actually make a difference in the narrative. Because Claire still could have gotten caught without, I can't remember the character's name already. Mrs. Something bird related, wasn't it? Anyway.
I don't remember.
Anyway, without her shooting herself in the head, that was not necessary at all. I don't remember it in the book. I don't remember if that was the thing that actually happened in the book or I just blocked it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But all of the crap that they're having to cut and skip over and gloss over, they could go without this extra trauma that is not actually doing the story any good. And to be perfectly honest, like, this is really, like, this is kind of very negative, but I mean it sincerely. Like, if it wasn't for Lord John and my absolute brain rot, this would have been my last episode.
Mm.
It messed me up that bad. I'm just over it. Anyway, so a resounding fuck you, stars. Stop it. We don't need this. It's not edgy. It's not cool. It's not making the story more rich. And like, it's not at all. Just give it up. Just tell the story. It's a good enough story. Fix it while you're at it. Like, there's some things that need some tweaking from the source material.
And that's okay. Just fix it.
Yeah, stop. Please stop with the trauma porn. Anyway, that was my rant. Thank you. Thank you for coming to my TikTok.
I get it.
Well, on a happier note, speaking of fixing things, I have a fic rec that I've actually been holding on to. I was going to drop it last week, but that obviously didn't work out. So Holly Mack, we have wrecked, I think we've wrecked one or two of her fics before, but she fixed 702.
Oh, nice.
With her fic, Even in Silence. I think I have read it like 7 times. I've just got the tab open on my phone at this point. I'm not even like reading it all the way through anymore. I'm just like scrolling through and like rolling around in it because it's so good.
Yeah, like just going to your favorite parts and stuff.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is my favorite part. I had to stop in the middle of reading because I was crying and couldn't see the screen to go and like yell at her personally, like on Discord, and then go back to finish it. It is so beautiful. It is just, it's kind of melancholy, but very, very sweet. Jamie goes back into the room. He turns around.
Love
so it. Please go read that. Give that fix some love. It's fantastic.
Love it.
That's how you fix it. Anyway, we did have some mail come in.
We just got a letter.
So we had some mail come in via our WordPress contact us page. And the submitter requested to stay anonymous. They said, I'm starting to get concerned that they're going to do what Game of Thrones did and use material in season 8 from future books that haven't been published yet. Thoughts?
So we do know that they will probably use something from a future book that hasn't been published yet, unless miraculously book 10 is published and it actually finishes the story. I don't know. But we do know, we have known since season 1 that Diana has shared like the ending that she envisions with like a hand, like with like Sam and like probably like Matt and Meryl or something like that. So, so we do know that, but that's kind of been like established for quite a while. I'm pretty sure they've actually come out and said that they're not going to Game of Thrones it. Like, I'm pretty sure that was in the one of the interviews early on in the season. I'm pretty sure they said that.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think that they did. I mean, there's bees, which, I mean, sure, that would follow the end of this season in theory. I have no idea how they're going to get there, but they're. But I do understand the concern, though, even though they say they're not going to Game of Thrones it, like there's levels, right? And Diana is very, very involved in the direction of the show.
Yeah.
Dare I say that may be part of the problem? So it may not be. Now, full disclosure, I have not watched Game of Thrones at all, but I am familiar with what happened. So while it may not be a complete Game of Thronesing it situation, there may be some things that aren't published yet that appear in the show.
I do think because of Diana's involvement, it's not just going to be shit that the writers make up in their heads.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what happened with Game of Thrones. They didn't have material. They didn't have any source material. And the author himself was like, I don't know how this is going to end because I haven't written it yet. Yeah. So they just made shit up. Where I feel like if they needed to include some stuff from, for instance, book 10 in season 8, Diana has been writing it. She does have material, right? And she has a vision for how things are going to end. So while it may not be perfect in any, you know, which what show is, it may not be verbatim what actually ends up being published in the book. It's not going to be just two like producers just like being like, you know what would be really cool? Though I have to say that I watch Game of Thrones. I am not a book reader of Game of Thrones. I would like to be, but I just don't know when I'll have the time.
They're chonky.
Yes, they are very chonky. So anyway, yeah. I didn't mind the ending. I thought the way they, I mean, some of it was not the best, and it did feel anticlimactic in a lot of ways, which I won't go into because you've never watched it and this is an Outlander podcast. But like some of the elements that people thoroughly hated, I kind of liked or thought they made sense. So I'm like in the minority there anyways. But again, I have no loyalty to the books. So
that's yeah, probably why. That kind of makes a difference. Like if your loyalty is to the books or the show or neither.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my loyalty is to neither when it comes to Outlander.
My loyalty is to John and William.
That's right there.
My loyalty is to the Grey family only.
That is it. Yes.
Oh, God. Hal Grey is my leader. Just kidding. His wife really is.
Oh, Minnie.
I love her.
That's, I can't go on this tangent again.
But yeah, so I'm not super worried. I do think that they'll do right by it. And, you know, Bees is a really long book.
Yeah, it is.
So there's a lot going on. But the problem is that if they don't incorporate some stuff from what Diana's writing now, because there's a lot of buildup. I feel like Bees is another buildup book, right? Like book 5. Can't think of the name of it right now, but like that was a build-up book. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Bees was a big build-up book too. So they're probably going to have to, but I'm not too worried about it because I think they'll do right by it. And it's going to be, the next book is going to be like Jamie and William's great adventure. So, you know.
Boy, I hope so.
Scottish warriors in blazing saddles or something. I don't know.
This is...
I'm so tired. I don't even
know. I'm sorry. I've got to do it. A black sheriff.
I just, my, that movie's so funny. I haven't seen it in years. It's probably just like so wildly did not age well.
Oh, not at all. Honestly, what edgy comedy has aged well?
Exactly. Spaceballs.
I mean...
I'm sure there's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff. Again, haven't watched it in ages.
But Mel Brooks is always good. So, hey, if you're sitting here going, I wonder what movie I should watch, just go find something by Mel Brooks and just watch it. Yes. And have a good time.
What's the one... It's not The Meaning of Life because that's
Life of Brian. Python.
No, that's Monty Python. But Mel Brooks has
History of the World. Movie.
Yes, thank you.
Yep, it's good to be the king.
But Life of Brian is like my fave, and I actually find it superior to the Holy Grail. Again, I'm probably
that's a hot take that'll get us canceled.
I know. I just happen to like it better. It's okay. So it's superior to the Holy Grail in the way that Grease 2 is superior to Grease. And if you know, you know. And if you don't, then you just don't.
I just don't. Oh, the one thing we forgot to do this week is our bingo check-in.
Oh, I haven't had anything in weeks.
It's been a shit week. I went ahead and checked off Jamie adopts more children just because he was carrying that kid. 706. Like, you know what? I'm getting desperate.
Yeah, we're getting desperate around over here. Oh my God. Okay, we better end this.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not getting better.
It's time.
We're done. Well, thank you everyone for listening.
If you're still here, it means that Pan was able to cobble something together out of this craziness.
I do want to give our listeners on Spotify another like big shout out and thank you, because we are still rated 5 stars, and I'm not sure why. We keep expectations low. And then you're not disappointed. But no, actually, we do really appreciate that everyone who's listening and is giving us these great ratings, sharing us on social media and stuff, sending us notes on the WordPress site. We do very much appreciate it.
If our rating goes down, we know it's because of my comment about Life of Brian. I'll take personal responsibility if it goes down within the next week.
And to be fair, we both kind of had some spicy, salty things. It was a flavorful episode.
Oh, God.
All right. We've had enough.
All right. Good
night.
Listening to this, it means you survived another episode of Lord Johnlander. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter or Tumblr at Lord Johnlander, or on our website at lordjohnlander.wordpress.com/contact us. All opinions expressed on the Lord Johnlander podcast belong to us and are not affiliated with Outlander, Sony, Stars, and definitely 100% not with Diana Gabaldon. This podcast is not suitable for children, immature adults, homophobes, anyone who takes fandom seriously, people who don't understand that the characters aren't real, people with sticks up their arse, people who hate fun, and people who have no sense of humor. Do not try any of these hot takes at home. We are professionals. And if you know us in real life, no, you don't.